Each one's a picture. So tonight what we're going to do in this message is we're going to deal with the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. You say, well, Jeff, why are you dealing with a Jewish holiday? It's a picture of something. And all I'm going to do is use it as a picture. I'm going to teach you a truth, but then I'm going to show you a picture of the truth by showing and using this feast day. That's what they was designed to do, was to teach you some great new truth. Durashada. You know, up as I look down, I see my shadow. If you'd come up front tonight to talk to me, you wouldn't talk to the shadow, would you? I'd think you're a nut if you did, but you talk to the real thing. The feast were shadows. They were just an image of something that was real to come. And we're going to show you what those picture. Now, let's first of all get a little bit of basic background to what the Feast of Trumpets was. Notice in verse 23, let me let you stand. Let's stand and show respect to the reading of the Word and let you get your legs stretched out for, you know, probably 10, 15 minute message. and then we'll be done. But I want you to see the great truth with the Feast of Trumpets. Tomorrow morning, I want you to see the great Day of Atonement, what it is a picture of. And then tomorrow night, the Feast of Tabernacles, what's it a picture of. Okay? Verse 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation, or a holy assembly. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you've been well pleased with what's been done so far. Master, we ask for your presence in our assembly. And we pray that you just fill it with your presence. And we pray that you would open folks' eyes to see your word. Above all things, we pray that Jesus would be exalted in what is said and what is done. We pray that you'd be near everyone that is here. And may they be made to worship you tonight in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. I thought you was drinking my water when I seen that white cup. But it's a good thing. Now, what we want to notice about this procedure, or what took place on the Feast of the Trumpets, well, notice it said it occurred on the seventh month, on the first day. Now, right off the bat, you think, well, that's July. Remember, we're going by a Jewish calendar in the Bible. Their seventh month was called the month Tishrei, and it's equal to our September. So when the Bible uses certain months, you got to remember they went by a different calendar. Actually, they went by two calendars. They had a religious calendar, and they had a civil calendar. Now, when you come to the seventh month, the first day of the month, which is when the Feast of the Trumpets was, that was Jewish New Year's Day. When they came to the Feast of Trumpets, that was their New Year's. We had the table set on the 6th for Jewish New Year. That's when they celebrate it. Now, when we celebrate our New Year's, what do? We celebrate by doing what? Letting off fireworks and letting off firecrackers. And there's usually parties and celebrations to celebrate the coming of a new year. That's what the Feast of Trumpets was. They celebrated their New Year, except they didn't let off firecrackers. They blowed trumpets. That's what they did. That's how they celebrated this day. From the morning, from sunset till the ending of that day, if you was in Jerusalem, I'm going to tell you something. You wouldn't have been able to sleep because they blowed those ram's horns all over Jerusalem. It was a noisy place to be that day, and they celebrated the coming of a new year. Now, we need to talk just a little bit about these trumpets. I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 10, because this will go into play here in just a little bit. Numbers chapter 10. There's a couple different types of trumpets. Now, in Numbers chapter 10, we're told of two silver trumpets. And I want you to notice here in Numbers 10, notice what that says, verse 2, or verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece thou shalt make them, that thou mayest use them. What do they use the trumpets for? For the calling of assembly. Everybody say that with me. For the calling of assembly. That's what those two silver trumpets was used for. If you wanted everybody to meet there at the door of the temple, buddy, when those priests sounded on those two silver trumpets, they came and they assembled. That was the calling of assembly. Whenever they was out in the wilderness and they were marching through the wilderness to go to the promised land, remember they followed a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, but how they knowed the first people to see the cloud get off and move off the tabernacle was the priest. And whenever they seen the cloud move, that signified it was time to go. And when they seen it, they got them silver trumpets and they blew it, and that signified for the people to move. They advanced based on the sounding of the trumpet. Now, notice in verse 10, so you understand about what the two silver trumpets was, and who blew those trumpets was the priest. It says, and in the day of your gladness, in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, remember the Feast of Trumpets came on what day? The first day of the seventh month, so it's the beginning of a month. Not only was it the Feast of Trumpets, not only was it the Jewish New Year, but it was a new moon. That was another special feast day or special time for the Jews. Now, on to announce these coming days, what does it say they did in verse 10? Ye shall blow with the trumpets of your offerings and of your sacrifices and of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So, what would happen whenever the morning would come, sun up, those priests, wouldn't have been a good job to have, you know, especially if you got a bunch of sleepy people, well, you get in there and they'd blast those trumpets, both of them. And what did that do? It called for a what? It called assembly. It also told you, every time you had a feast day, you know, like when we rung the church bell tonight, that signified that the service began, did it not? Buddy, it's just like a church bell when they sounded those two silver trumpets. That means the feast had officially began. They sounded it at the start of Passover. They sounded at the start of Tabernacles. And it also announced the start of the Feast of Trumpets. So those were the first two trumpets that were blowed on the Feast of Trumpets, was these two silver trumpets. Okay? But that wasn't the primary trumpet that was used, and actually I guess you should really call it a horn. I had a tape that had ram's horns on it, and I was going to play it for you, let you hear what it sounded like. My son laughed at it, so that's the reason why we ain't going to listen to it. But it is a loud, screeching kind of sound. It's very loud. I like to hear it. He didn't. Of course, I like the bagpipes too, and he don't. But the ram's horn was the primary horn on this day. The silver trumpets would sound. The people would assemble. It was a holy convocation. It was a holy assembly there at Jerusalem. And they worshiped God that day. And they celebrated their new year. And all over Jerusalem, people would be sounding those ram's horns from morning till night. Doesn't that sound like a good day to celebrate, or a good way to celebrate a new year's of worshiping and assembling at the temple and being with your family? So that's basically what they did. But all that picture something. There's a reason. God just didn't give them these Old Testament shadows and things to do just for the sake of filling pages in the Word. There's a reason for everything that He gave Moses to do. And there's a picture in all of these Old Testament things. Let's turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What did the Feast of Trumpets picture? We understand what they did on the Feast of Trumpets. We understand that it was Jewish New Year. We understand that it was a great time of celebration for Israel as they celebrated their New Year. We understand that they sounded the ram's horns all over Jerusalem from morning till night. Instead of firecrackers, you heard the toots on trumpets all over the land. Was it noisy that day? Yeah, it was noisy. It wasn't something. The Feast of Trumpets didn't come in a secret. It came in with a bang. And it started with the two silver ones, and then it kept right on all day long. So that's what it was. Now, would you agree with me tonight if I said that under... Now, that was under what covenant? That was under the Old Covenant. You know, your Bible is divided between Old Testament, New Testament. Under the Old Covenant, that was the Feast of Trumpets. Under the New Covenant, I want to tell you tonight, we await the great day of the trumpet. Would you all agree with me? Under the New Covenant, we as God's people await the day of the trumpet. And you know what? It's going to be a great celebration when the trumpet sounds. And the reason why it's such a great day is because when we hear the sound of the trumpet, that is the signal to the people of God that here comes the King. See, it's a sweet sound. God enjoyed hearing the sound of the trumpet in the Old Covenant. He liked that. That's why He gave that a picture. But it's a picture of something greater, something more marvelous. We await on that great sound of the trumpet. When we hear the trumpet of sound, will it be a cause for celebration for the people of God? Amen. Sure will be a cause of celebration, because that's the signal to us that the King is coming. Won't that be a glorious day? The book of Isaiah says, "Thy eyes shall behold the King." Thy eyes shall behold the King. Now, why else is it such a great day? You'll remember when I had you make a statement earlier when I read Numbers chapter 10. When they sounded the two silver trumpets, Numbers 10:2, what did it say that it did? It called a what? It called an assembly. When you wanted to assemble the people of God in the Old Testament, those priests would blast those trumpets. And when you heard it, you came to the temple. He used the trumpet to call assembly. I want to tell you something tonight. He once again will use the trumpet to once again call assembly, but on a much greater scale. You see, it's just a picture. It's just a picture. That's the reason why he used the trumpet in Numbers chapter 10 to call assembly. Because it pictured a much greater day. I want to share something with you that you don't hear a lot. You know, under the Old Covenant, the Jew was basically anyone that was the seed of Abraham through the line of Isaac. Would y'all agree? That's basically who the Jew was. But you know, under the New Covenant, that's changed. Let me show you a couple of verses. This is all free. Look at Romans chapter 2. Hope you got your Bible. Don't just listen. If you'd like a copy of the tape, you can get that. Neely sells them for $20 a pop. No, if you'd like a copy of the tape, you just be sure and put your name in the back on a sheet of paper and they get you a copy. Under the New Covenant, who is the Jew? If I told you tonight that I'm a Jew, would you believe it? If I told you tonight that Rusty's a Jew, would you believe it? Now, Romans chapter 2, notice what it says. Notice the very last part of the chapter. It defines a Jew. If you write notes in your Bible, you can make a little line out for Matt and write the definition of a Jew under the New Covenant. It's different. That's what it says in verse 16. He is not a Jew. Romans 2:28, I'm sorry. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Now, right off the bat, it says, it gets your attention because if someone was a descendant of Abraham through Isaac, it says that just being a Jew by birth or outwardly, that's not who a Jew is today. That's not who a Jew is in under the New Covenant. Notice what else it says. But he is a Jew which is one where? He is a Jew which is one inwardly. And the circumcision that is of the heart and in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God, the true Jew. Is someone that is a Jew inwardly. I'm not a Jew outwardly. I'm, of course, an American. But I'm a Jew inwardly. Philippians chapter 3 says, we are the circumcision. Remember that? We are the circumcision. You know, the circumcision was another title, name for the Jew under the Old Covenant. They would refer to the Jew as the circumcised. And that became, that was just a title, name for the Jew and became a title, name for the people of God. Whenever King David come to the army site of where the Philistines were in battle against these people, he heard Goliath blaspheming the God of Israel. Remember, boy, his temper got hot, and he said, "What? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he would defy the armies of the living God. So the term circumcision was used in reference to the Jew. In the New Testament, in Philippians 3:3, it says this. Listen to this now. We are the circumcision. We are the Jew, which rejoice in Christ Jesus. Worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. That's a true Jew. That's what it says again. Rejoice in Messiah Jesus. Worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. That's a true Jew. If you're here tonight and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior in the eyes of the New Covenant, in the eyes of God, you're a Jew inwardly. You're the circumcision. Book of Galatians chapter 2 says basically the same thing. They that be of faith are the children of Abraham and are the seed of Abraham. Romans chapter 11 says that pictures Israel as an olive tree. And it says He took us as Gentiles and He grafts us in and makes us a part of the nation. Isn't that wonderful? We're Jews, spiritually, under the new covenant. Now, I could show you a bunch of other verses to prove that, but that's something you don't hear really preached on a whole lot. But it's very true. It's used in a lot of places in the New Testament. So you'll know in the eyes of God who the true Jew is. It's one that's trusted Christ. It's one who by faith has received Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's a Jew that is one inwardly. Since that is true, would you agree that then there's spiritual Jews scattered out all over the world tonight? All over West Virginia, there are spiritual Jews. They're scattered, or they're all not together. We're a portion of them assembled here tonight. But all over the world, there is people that have trusted Christ and are Jews. Where at? Inwardly. That are the children of Abraham by faith. All over, that's been grafted in the nation and a part of God's kingdom and a part of God's nation. All over the world, they're like that. Russia, Africa, all those Jews are scattered. Would you agree with me? Okay? Now, you know what? There's coming a day when He's going to assemble all of them together. Just like He did under the old covenant, except He's going to do it on a much larger scale. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is a good verse of Scripture for you to mark in your Bible. Notice what it says in verse 10. It says, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather... He might do what now? Gather together in what? In one. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. There's coming a day when He will gather together in one all that are in Christ. Now, what's going to call all that assembly together? Does anybody in the house know? What's He going to use? He's going to use a trumpet to do that. Just like He did in the book of Numbers chapter 10. Just like He did in Leviticus chapter 20. The Feast of Trumpets just was a picture of the gathering together as one of the people of God. Isn't it wonderful? So what's the picture of? The trumpet of God will sound. All those that are in heaven, all those that are here on earth, will be assembled, gathered together when the trumpet sounds. After all, the trumpet sound is the calling of what? The calling of assembly. And He's going to join together us all. We'll all be in the clouds of heaven on when that trumpet of God sounds. All God's people say it. Isn't that a beautiful picture? So, it's the calling of assembly. Let's notice some details of that day. Let's look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's the calling of assembly. He's going to use a trumpet to do it. And that's what the picture in the Old Testament is. That's why they used the trumpets, because it pictured that day. And that's the reason why he used them in such a fashion. Let's notice some of the details of that day. Let's look at verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now that means died. You know, when someone dies, their spirit goes to be with the Lord, or their spirit goes to hell, to be honest with you. But their body appears to be what? Sleeping. So it's just speaking of the body, but that which gave the body life leaves. So he's speaking to the Thessalonian church about their loved ones and their people that have died. Notice what it says in verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus, what does it say? Will God bring with him. Now here are some of the details of that great day of trumpet. It will be a time of great celebration, do you agree? It'll be like celebrating New Year's Day, except it'll be on a much greater scale then too. The trumpet will sound, it will call an assembly of all God's people together in the clouds of heaven. It'll call the assembly of all of them. It'll be a great time of rejoicing for us. Now when Jesus comes out of heaven, when he steps out, remember what else did the trumpet do? I told you in Numbers 10. It not only called assembly, but it also sounded advance. It also meant go forward. You know what happens? And when that trump sounds, Jesus is going to advance. He's going to leave heaven. And he's going to come down. Now, is he coming down alone? Did you notice what it said? No, it says he's going to bring all of those that have died, that knew Christ as their Savior, that possessed the victory over death. He's going to bring all of them with him.
Amen.
I like that. He's going to bring them all with him. Now, listen to this. It's blown people's minds before, but it's not that deep of a thing. It's simple. Those in heaven, they don't have bodies. They're spirit. Where's their bodies at? They're in the grave. They're awaiting the sound of the trumpet. So when he descends and he comes down, when the trumpet sound goes forth, he's bringing all of our unsaved, all of our saved family members and friends that have died and knew Christ. He's bringing all of them with him. Now, they're in spirit in the beginning. But then there's another great event happens. Let's look in the passage. Verse 14 says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, what's that called? That's called the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it, trusts it. If I ask you tonight, are you saved? I want to hear the gospel. I don't want to hear about all you've done. I don't want to hear about how long that you've been doing whatever for the Lord. I want to hear that Christ died for me and rose again the third day. That's why I'm saved. That's why I'm going to heaven. And if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, it says, if you die in this life, it says when Jesus comes back, he's going to bring you with him. He's going to bring you with him. Now notice what else it says in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ rise first. So he's bringing them with him. And the trumpet will sound, and over the years I've tried to sit down and figure out how many funerals I've done in 21 years. I can't, wish I'd have kept track, but I didn't. Went to a funeral again today. One of the saddest parts for folks is when you take a family member and put them in the ground. That's so hard to see that happen. But you want to know something? For a child of the King, when they passed away, the moment that they died, their spirit left their body and went to be with Jesus. That's where it's at tonight. And their body, when it was placed in the ground, all that is a planting. It's coming out of there. Every time I stand at the mouth of one of them things, I look out, boy, this thing's going to be open one of these days. I get excited about it. I think, boy, they're not really in that box. They're with the Lord. And one of these days, from this very spot where I'm... Tulip bulbs are ugly, aren't they? No one says, look how pretty this tulip bulb is. Have you ever had anybody do that? I haven't. Yeah, it looks like a potato to me. But what do you do with it? You plant it. Put it down in the ground. But you don't sow the body that's going to be. In the springtime, there's another body that comes out of that place. Oh, it's beautiful. They're yellow and they're purple and they're red. It's a different body. It's a more glorious body. It's more pretty. It's better than what you put in it. We sow their seed in the ground, but I tell you what, a body a whole lot better, Brother Jim, is going to come out of there. And it will be reunited with their spirit in the clouds. And they will be standing there in a body. What's going to start all that? It's the sounding of the trumpet. It's the calling of assembly. It means the king's on his way. And he's bringing... You ever think about the people that's going to be there? If it would happen tonight, think of the people that he's bringing back with it. People I'm dying to see again. People that I can't wait to see again. Won't that be, above all else, Jesus. Won't that be a wonderful day? Just like a Jewish New Year, but on a higher scale. Great time of celebration. Great time of joy. What else is going to happen on that day? Well, we can't stop there because there's some more things that's going to happen. Verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Caught up together. Notice what else it says. With them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. All God's people say it. Man, isn't that wonderful? If Jesus would come tonight as he descends at the great sound of the trumpet, and as he calls assembly with the great sound of the trumpet, he will gather together in one all the Israel of God. He will gather together his entire kingdom in the clouds of heaven. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. What is that? There used to be a song, that will be the happy reunion day, will it not? And we will be gathered together as one, and the trumpet is what sounds that assembly. You say, well, we're going to stay like we are. No, he's going to change us too. This old body's not going to go. This old body's been corrupted by sin. This is a corruptible body. It ages, by ever so gracefully. It ages. It gets sick. It sins. It's corruptible. But I'm going to get an incorruptible body. I'm going to get a body that's sin-proof, sick-proof, age-proof, and death-proof. All God's people say it. Every one of those things. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, when is this going to happen? Turn to this real quick. Now, we can't go just like we are. This body's not going to go. Body's going back to the dust. 1 Corinthians 15, notice what it says. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all what? We're all going to die. You know, I know I got victory over the grave, don't you? I know I got victory in Jesus, which is one reason why we sung that song. But I really don't want to die, do you? I'd like to be here when Jesus comes. And that's still a hope that I have. Sometimes at night when I'm talking to my son about things of the Lord, and I'll explain to him, I say, we might not die. The Lord may come. But if something does happen, you know that I'm with the Lord. See? We will not all sleep, it says, but we all shall be changed, verse 51 says. Now, when will that be? Now, I'm going to explain something to you here real quick. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that means that quick, at the last trump. Now, you need to understand a little something about the last trump. When the trumpet sounds in 1 Thessalonians 4, can I ask you a question? Who's that trumpet for? That's for the saved. You see, it's the calling of assembly. For the who? It's not a trumpet for the lost. It's a trumpet for the saved. He's calling together his people as one. in the clouds. You know why I said that? People get that confused with the trumpets in Revelations 8, 9, and 16. It's not the same set of trumpets. The trumpets in Revelations 8 and 9 are judgment trumpets on the lost. Two different sets. Well, it confuses folks. They say, if it's the last trump, then I'll go to the seventh trump in Revelation 16. And so we go through all of those things. We don't go through all those things. The last trump, it is the last trump for the saved. It is the last trump for the saved. When it sounds, we're out of here.
End of time.
End of time, and we're gathered together with Him in the clouds. That's the trumpet. And as we go, this body is changed. It puts on immortality, just like the body that Paul said in the book of Philippians, He will change our vile body, that it will be likened unto His glorious body. 1 John 3 says, when we see Him, we will be like Him. Won't that be wonderful? It indeed is a great celebration day. And it all begins with the sound of the trumpet. When is the trumpet going to sound? Matthew chapter 24 says that no man knows the day nor the hour when the trumpet... People guess it all the time. I studied Jehovah's Witnesses has guessed it 5 different times. They quit going to work. You know, they quit working. And 5 days, they selected 5 different dates as the coming. Each time it's wrong. Anytime anyone guesses it, it's just about guaranteed. It's wrong. Remember the great book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 88. We had about 10 people, about 15, 20 people in church in, buddy. When that book came out, we had a church full that Sunday. They left in 1989. You can't guess when Jesus is coming. You never know when the trumpet is going to sound that calls the assembly of the people of God. You don't know when it's going to be. That's why you always have to be ready for that. Most people... I run into very few atheists. Do you? I'm in contact with a lot of unbelievers, but very few people that I talk to, most people I talk to, believe that Jesus is coming again. Really? Many of the lost that I talk to believe that Jesus is coming again. They just gamble that it's going to be not in their lifetime, or they gamble that it's going to be at a future date. If you knew tonight at 8:15, that Jesus is coming. When He called assembly of His people, would you be one of them? Now, I didn't ask you, sometimes people say, well, I sure do hope so. You need a whole lot more than a sure do hope so. Your eternal destiny rests on this. You see, if the trumpet would sound, I know so. I know so. Do you? But if it was at 8:15, what was the first thing you'd do? If you knew it, which you can't, but if you knew it, what's one of the first things you'd want to do? Well, if I knew it, I ask Him that. If you knew it, well, I'd want to get right with God. He may come at 8:11. You may die at 8:10. You always have to be ready. You always have to be prepared. You never know. There's 2 things you never know. You never know when Jesus is going to come. And you also never know when you're going to die. You have to know whether you're saved or not. You have to know that you're ready. You know you've got to have 2 things to be ready. 2 things. You have to have removal of your sin. Remission of your sin. You know something else you have to have? You have to have righteousness. You've got to have those 2 things. You can't just have the removal of your sin without righteousness. You've got to have both of them. Now, how much righteousness do you got to have? You've got to have 100% righteousness. You've got to have 100%. There's only one place you can get those 2 things. Jesus. Jesus is the only person that ever walked the planet here, Brother Cecil, that was 100% righteous. When you trust Christ as your Savior, here's what happens. He removes your sin. He pays your sin curse. He pays your sin debt. He completely removes them. They're gone. As we sung in Vacation Bible School many times when I was a little boy, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Y'all remember singing that? They're gone. They're no longer here. You know what else I need? I need 100% righteousness. Jesus gives you His the moment you trust Him as your Savior. You know, a lot of folks get confused about righteousness. They think it's their own righteousness that saves them. You can't do enough. I'm sorry, that's not a way of salvation. You could never know if you ever did enough. The only way you know that you're ready if Jesus comes is if you've trusted Jesus. We sing the song, "The Solid Rock My Hope Is Built On Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready for this great day of celebration? Our Feast of Trumpets. And boy, after we're gathered together in clouds, can you imagine what that'll be? Then where are we going to go? Yeah, we're going to Jerusalem. Which one? The one over in the Middle East? No, New Jerusalem. It's much better. And that's the Feast of Tabernacles. And I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to stop with that. And that's what I'm going to deal with tomorrow night. That's the Feast of Trumpets. It's a picture of the rapture. The calling of assembly of God's people for a celebration of a new beginning and a new life. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, right there where you're sitting at, I'm going to ask you, as we have a word of prayer, to trust Christ. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say they might be. I sure hope they will be. It says they shall be. If right there where you're sitting, you'll call upon Jesus' name, He will save you right there where you sit. The thief on the cross called from the cross. And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." If you call and trust that He died for you and rose again the third, He'll save you. If you don't know whether you're saved or not, see me following services. We can sit down and figure that out with Scripture. We can take God's Word and you can look at God's Word and see whether you're saved or not. Make sure you're basing on the right object. But by all means, don't leave this place tonight without trusting Jesus as your Savior. Some of you here tonight might be saved, but you've drifted. Man, you're way out here where you don't have no business being. Yes. You're miserable too, aren't you? Good. That's an evidence that you're saved. If you could be out here where you don't belong and not be miserable, it's an evidence you don't belong to Him. It really is. If you're here and you've drifted, man, your fellowship with God's not what it used to be, you may need to renew your commitment to Him. Lord, I want You to forgive me for how I've drifted, and I want to rededicate my life to You. And you know you can get your joy back and you can start serving again. Sometimes Christians are like a broken net. They need restored. And that word restore is what was used whenever the disciples had a broken net. It says they mended it. They restored it. You don't throw away a broken net, you mend it. You might need mended tonight spiritually. You might not be close to God anymore. He ain't the one that moved, you did. And you're miserable because you did. And you won't get your joy back till you get back in a close fellowship with your Father. So ever how your need is tonight, as we pray, you call upon Jesus' name. Let us pray.